One day when you have time, if you have a long holiday, take the biography of Ramakrishna and read the experiments he made. He practiced several universal religions. He was born Hindu. He was a great worshipper of Kali and realized Kali. So that he could be in constant touch with Kali, he could talk to her, seek her advice, and act according to the advice of Kali. This was his first realization. Kali is real. That was his conclusion. More real than the things that we see in the world. That was his experience. Then he practiced many other forms of Hinduism. Kali is only one form of Hindu religion. Hinduism itself is like a banyan tree in which there are so many branches. He realized also what is called Advaita. Advaita means non-dualism. Dvaita means two. A means not. Non-dualism. You realize oneness. When you realize Kali, there is a realization of Kali being separate from you, having a relationship between the two. But when you have Advaita, there is no relationship between one and the other. There is a realization of identity. Oneness. That is Advaita. Within a few days of practice of Advaita, he realized Advaita. Then he practiced Christianity. He began to go to the church, specially observe Sunday, because it's a part of Christian religion. Practice everything that is prescribed in Christianity and realize that Jesus is real. Just as he had realized that Kali is real, he realized that Jesus is real, is a reality. He is not imagination. Jesus really lives. He is alive. He is embodiment of love. He helps. He cures your sorrow, uplifts you. He can give you salvation. So this was his conclusion by experience. He practiced Islam. He began to go to the mosque. He used to practice Friday particularly, because that is the holy day for the Muslims. And he came to the conclusion that the message of Prophet Muhammad is valid. Is true. He practiced, so even Hanuman, for example, practicing the consciousness of Hanuman. You have heard Hanuman. Hanuman was one of the chiefs of the army by whose help Rama conquered Ceylon, Sri Lanka, and could rescue Sita from Sri Lanka. This Hanuman is supposed to be the most devoted servant of Sri Rama. He, in his practice of yoga, he realized that Hanuman is real. He is not a fiction. And his identity with Hanuman was so great that he claims that he even began to grow a tail himself, just as Hanuman had a tail. Even that experience he began to have, so much of identity with Hanuman. So he realized that Hanuman is real. So if you become the devotee of Hanuman, it is as valid as you become devotee of Jesus. Just as Jesus is real, Hanuman is also real. He practiced even Radha's consciousness, the identity with Radha. He used to wear sari, because Radha used to wear sari. So although he was male, he used to put on the female dress. People used to call Ramakrishna a madman, but his madness was divine. Wherever was the divine, he wanted to experiment, see whether it's real or not. He's like a scientist. And scientists must completely fulfill the conditions of the experiment. So he experimented to see whether Radha is real or not. And he realized that Radha is real. So he declared that as far as all the existing religions are concerned, the basic claims are valid. They are not wrong. But if anybody says that this is better than the other, that he denied. He said, everyone leads you to the right path and takes you to the highest which is claimed. This was his experimental conclusion, not by belief, not by intellectually trying to reconcile the religions, no. He experimented and found that Jesus is real, Krishna is real, Rama is real, Hanuman is real, Radha is real, Prophet Muhammad is real. He confirmed in his experience. About Rama and Krishna, he said that both Rama and Krishna actually are manifested in himself. The reality of Rama and Krishna, he emphasized by saying, I am myself Rama and Krishna. That is why he took a new name, Ramakrishna. Both Rama and Krishna, he said, are both incarnated in me. So instead of doubting in any way, he experienced and realized that he himself embodies Rama and Krishna. In the history of spiritual life in the world, Ramakrishna stands as it were at the gate of harmony. How to harmonize all the religions, not by debate or controversy or comparing one dogma with the other dogma, but by directly by experiencing, by experimenting and realizing in his own life. Now what conclusion therefore do you derive from it? That every religion is valid, but no religion is superior to the other religion. And the further one, for you, if it is appropriate for you to be Radha, then for you that path is better than any other path. If it is good for you to be Rama, then the path of devotion to Rama is better for you, not for all. For you, that is the right path. So Vivekananda came to the conclusion, he was a disciple, direct disciple of Ramakrishna. So he came to the conclusion, gave the message to the world. Why are you quarreling, saying my religion is better than the other? Why do you want to convert people from one religion to the other? If people are happy with their religion, since that religion is valid, let them move on that religion. If this religion satisfies you, you move on that religion and realize your own goal. Why do you quarrel? He went farther and he said, even these religions which are now available are not enough. As you move forward, your own religion will be another religion. Everyone can have his own religion. So that in this world there can be as many religions as every human being. This is one of his highest messages that he gave to the mankind. That is why Vivekananda and Ramakrishna are the reconcilers. They brought about a great synthesis. But still, it spoke the language of religion. This message speaks of the language of religion. Now, what is that characteristic by which religion is called religion? We might say differentia of religion, which is common in all the religions. All religions have specific rituals, ceremonies, mechanical acts. And both Ramakrishna and Vivekananda allowed even rituals and ceremonies to be promoted. Now, it is here there is a distinction between religion and yoga. Yoga also is a method to attain to the highest, but not by the method of rituals, ceremonies, dogmas, prescribed acts. This is the speciality of yoga. There are no ceremonies, no rituals, no prescribed acts. In other words, true spirituality transcends the limits of religion. It does not condemn ceremonies and rituals. If it is good for you, it is all right. But there is another way in which ritual ceremonies can be all dispensed with. Yoga is an explosion of consciousness. No rituals, no ceremony, but explosion of consciousness. There is nothing mechanical in it, nothing dogmatic in it. Nothing to do with ceremonies. You take any yoga in which there are no rituals and ceremonies, except when as a preliminary method it is admitted to some extent, as a preliminary step. But when that religious ceremony is over, then you are fit for a higher step where ceremonies are no more necessary. But then again, the field of yoga, there are several of them. There is Karma Yoga, Raj Yoga, Hatha Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, etc., etc. And there again there is a quarrel. Just as among religions there is a quarrel, saying this religion is better than the others, even in the yoga there is this malady, this sickness, this illness. Rajyogis say Rajyoga is the best method. Jnanis say Jnan Yoga is the best method. Bhaktas claim that Bhakti is the best method. Even though in none of them there are no rituals, no ceremonies. But still they maintain that my method is better than the others' methods. And that everyone should do that method. Sri Aurobindo points out that even this is a falsity. You practice every yoga and you arrive at a conclusion. And actually you require all the conclusions. It is not as if the realization of Karma Yoga is enough. You should strive to have the conclusions of all the yogas.